an Ironic Media production. Visit us at ironicmedia.com.
And get kind of belligerent because somebody's taking their place over. And then when they see if they still have a husband alive, their husband in the kitchen with another woman with their pan that they're using wrong, it kind of is the triggers. But I'm just throwing it out there for people that might not have thought of that little spin, because I try to explain that to some of our clients sometimes that are having issues with caregiving in the home.
Oh, absolutely. And the caregiver now poses a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're younger. Marriage. They're taking over to the marriage, to another their woman. Importance, their control, whatever control they perceive they still might have. Right. And it's just verbally expressing. So I'm lucky in the sense that my mom has accepted the care and that she probably will not go to assisted living, even though my stepdad said, the minute when I walk in the house and she doesn't know who I am, we're throwing in the towel. So that's his line in the sand of if there would ever be placement consideration.
Dementia Discussions. Here to help and empower our heroic caregivers with knowledge and experience. Dementia Discussions with the caregivers themselves and memory loss professionals. Here to help with 30 years as a geriatric social worker is your Dementia Discussions host, Barbara Hammond.
Hello and welcome to Dementia Discussions. I'm Barbara Hammond. Today on the show, I have a great guest. And before I get to her, I'd like to encourage you, the listener, if you or someone you know would like to help your fellow caregiver and share your story on Dementia Discussions, please call me. I'd love to chat with you. I'm at 310-362-8232. And now, for my great guest, I'd like to welcome Stacy Brooks. Good morning, Stacy. It's great to have you. I know Stacy as a care manager, as an aging life care manager, a colleague for all these years, and a good friend. So, Stacy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Barb. It's great to see you virtually and an honor to be invited on your podcast today. And hello to all of the listeners.
Well, thank you. You have an interesting story, and that's why I can't wait to talk to you. Sad, really. We're here to talk about your father and your mother and then your work. With all of that, I've never met your father, so introduce us all to your father.
Well, my father, Sam, is deceased. A great guy, and at the end of his life, had significant dementia. My mother is currently alive and has, I would say, early to moderate dementia that I am working with. And the dynamics of dealing with both of them has been very different because my relationship with each of them was very different.
They had been divorced for many years. Is that right?
That's correct. But still, we're very good friends. My mother remarried my stepfather 46 years ago. So in essence, I had two dads or father figures, if you will. The dealing with my dad's dementia obviously happened first. My dad's been deceased now for 8 years.
And he lived close by?
He did. As I saw his disease starting to progress, he was in New York and I moved him out to California to be closer to me because there was no one anymore in his life from a friendship or a familial standpoint. So I moved him here and he was 87 when I moved him from New York.
And he had not remarried?
No.
Yeah, I see. And you're the only child?
I am.
Wow.
I was and I am.
So really everything fell on you.
That's correct.
Wow. Goodness. So how did that go? Where did you move him?
We moved him from New York to an assisted living community that was very close to where I live. Mm-hmm. And I was very involved in his day-to-day life because, number one, he was very close to me. And number two, I would be there with clients where he lived. So I go, there's my dad. Hi, Dad. When I'm on a tour. And he would come over every Sunday for dinner and then go to all the kids' sports events, pick him up. And he was doing really well and kind of just had, I would say, had your average or typical 87-year-old memory. But prior to that, this is really important. Prior to that, my concern with his memory was such that I moved him out. And then within, I would say, 4 months of him being at assisted living, all of a sudden it was like the clock turned back 10 years. And that was in my and everyone else who knew him's estimation. And I believe what contributed to that directly was one, appropriate nutrition. Two, that they were managing his medications and he was getting it at the same time every day. He wasn't missing a dose or overdoing a dose. So I think his medication was managed, or I know it was managed appropriately, along with the nutrition, appropriate sleep habits. As I would call him in New York, and it would be like 3 o'clock his time, he'd be sleeping. And he would say he was up really late the night before. So I was seeing that he was doing this, which is very common with people with dementia. He was sleeping during the day and up late at night. So his circadian rhythms were wacky. But I think most important of all is that he was socialized with other people. His world had gotten so small, all of his friends, and he was a really social guy, and all of his friends had either died or moved to Florida. And it was basically him and the doorman. That was his sum and substance of his interaction. And some neighbors he'd say hi and bye to and kind of would watch out for him. But I think now that he kind of got around people and got involved, he wouldn't play cards, but he would help the activities director set up the tables for cards. So he found his purpose. He found some people. And then he found Patricia. And he had a lovely girlfriend for the last couple of years of his life.
Oh my gosh, that's so sweet.
It was so sweet. And I even got a call from the executive director one day. And I thought it was a work call. And I'm like, hey, Daniel. And he's like, I just had to let you know I had a talk with your dad and Patricia in my office. And there was some complaints about too much PDA. I'm like, oh, goodness. Oh, boy. Thank you. So I would get calls from my dad's principal, if you will, but never my kids. It was always about this. With that said, he left this world with love, holding hands, with love in his heart for a lovely woman. I do assisted living placement as a career and have for 25 years, but I can tell you it works because I know it works for other people, but I saw it change my dad's life.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is a great story.
And it helped stave off his dementia for all these reasons.
That is very sweet. What a good thing you did.
Kicking and screaming he was. Really? For all you out there that said, my dad's or mom, they said they're never moving out the home. You know what? You got to figure out a way. If you believe placement's correct, for whatever reason, that you make it happen, because it really is such a valuable option.
And you can see with your dad getting more and more isolated, more forgetful. He probably wasn't remembering to eat. He wasn't remembering to take his meds or taking them too much or whatever it was. Really, he needed that structure. That's a great story. Did you worry at first, kicking and screaming? Did you worry like, oh no, how's this going to go?
I knew once he got here that he would love it because there were his people. When he came out to visit, before he moved out here, my mom and I hijacked him. I said, hey, Dad, we're going to go have lunch with mom today. He goes, that's terrific. And next thing we know, we were pulling up assisted living. And he's like, what are you guys doing? Where are we? I'm like, we're just going to have lunch. Just check it out. And then when we left, he said, when I move, if I move, this is the place I'm going to move to. And then within 6 weeks, he was out here. Because wow. Between my mom and I, there's no telling us what to do. We get it done. And that's probably a good segue into my mom.
Yeah. Now, your mom I had met, and she was a can-do woman. Absolutely. She was
strong, brilliant, go-getter, really highly accomplished. If there was one word to describe my mom, it would be smart. And dementia has taken that away.
So sad. I do remember your mom being very smart and beautiful. Really attractive super, woman. Yeah.
Super beautiful. Super smart. Funny. She wasn't funny. She's a great audience. She enjoyed smart humor. Funny was left up to me, but she was a great audience. We always had a complicated relationship, but we met in certain areas. We always connected. She wasn't the nurturing. She was never mommy. Mm-hmm. She was always mom and sometimes mother, right?
Right. Yeah.
Both my parents traveled internationally for business.
Now, when you say your parents, you're referring to your
father and mother.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So she was never around. My care and raising was delegated and relegated to my grandmother. great-grandmother and grandparents. And then my great-grandmother passed. And then eventually my grandparents moved to Florida. Obviously, I'm from New York because I keep using that retire to Florida reference. And then professional, nannies. So my mom self-admittedly never wanted children. That's all I need to say about that. She did it for my father. And there was only me, as you had said. And so I had a complicated relationship trying to find mommy for all of these years. Sorry to get all like psychology 101 here, but the complications were, I was always looking for a parent, and now I am the parent.
With your mom, yeah. And when did her memory start to change?
About 2.5 years ago.
Oh, that's all. Wow.
It was sudden. I think she said that she remembers getting up from the couch and having an episode. Like all of a sudden, like a flash, things went black. She said, I think I had a stroke, though it has not been detected on any tests. So really? It was maybe a TIA or a big TIA.
So she's had scans and it hasn't mm-hmm. been detected on any of her brain
no.
scans? Oh, interesting. Did anything else change at the time? Like her speech, her
face, balance.
Her balance. Uh-huh.
That she's, from that time, and she thinks that she recalls having, that my parents were on a ship, on a cruise, and she remembers getting off of the boat here in Los Angeles or Miami or wherever, and she never has gotten off that boat.
Really?
You know, like you like kind of have sea mm-hmm. legs, I think they call it.
Right. She never got her land legs back.
Her land legs, right. And she said she believes that there was an episode on that ship that maybe she didn't detect, but she did detect the one at home. So I don't think it was like, there's so many forms of dementia, but I think this was episodic as opposed to buildup of plaque over time or any sort of the more subtle.
Mm-hmm.
forms, that kind of the slow progression. I think kind of things kind of turned on a dime a little bit.
Wow. And now here we are 2.5 years later. Do you think she's had more of these small strokes?
I don't know. She hasn't identified as having any more of these episodes, but I think either she has or the damage that was done at that time.
Mm-hmm. It's like cumulative damage.
I believe.
But she's more impaired, is what you're saying. She's had some.
Her memory's getting
decline.
More impaired.
Uh-huh.
And you say, well, what kind of dementia is it? Is it on a scan? It doesn't matter to me. I don't need to know.
It sounds like vascular dementia to me.
It sounds like vascular dementia. Yeah. Exactly.
But you're right. It doesn't matter. At some point, it's sort of academic, right? Because there's no, yes, she can take a baby aspirin a day, but it's not like there's one medicine for vascular dementia, another medicine for Alzheimer's dementia.
That's correct.
So did they put her on the medicine, the Aricept and Namenda?
No, they did not. And so with COVID, it was limited to how many people could go into the doctor's office. She's up at UCLA. Mm-hmm. Very, very, as Barbara, very strict in the hospital system here in Los Angeles now. I had my dad, I gave him some talking points to bring into the doctor. He's a terrible historian. This is my stepfather. Mm-hmm. And I told him, this is what you asked Dr. Charette. And when they came back from the appointment, I said, what did she say? Did you talk about it? He goes, what's there to talk about? There's nothing you could do anyway. I said, you're probably.
So he's noticing.
Definitely. But he's resigned to the fact that this is what it is. And he's her power of attorney. Mm-hmm. And I've implored him to speak to the doctor about putting her on some meds. And for some reason, he keeps saying, it just is the way it is, Stacey. And again, he's probably right. Not going to fight the drama with him.
Mm-hmm. How
he
does
seems
it
to have leveled off, though. The mm-hmm. last, I'd say, 6 months, I hope she's baseline
mm-hmm.
where she's at.
And so what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? How is she?
Every day is different. This was a good day. This was a bad day.
So tell us about her good days and her bad days.
I hear some energy back in her voice. I hear her kind of taking 50% control of the conversation, if not 80%, which is more like her. She seems to remember things. So instead of the same old questions, how are the boys? How's work? How's the doggy? It was like, so, well, what are you doing? It's a really beautiful day out today. I think they say it's going to be 72. It's a good day to go outside. What are you going to do? Like, more engaging. And then the bad days are more, like I said, oh, how are the boys? I hope we're going to have lunch soon. How is Ilse? You know, that sort of like robotic, the best she could do to keep hold of a conversation. And then 2 days later, she's there. She is again. Hi there. Oh, you're back.
The roller coaster. You don't know who you're going to get when you call her.
And I never knew who I was going to get as a mom because of her personality traits either. So I'm still on this roller coaster with her, but it's a different one. I didn't have an alcoholic mom. I had a rageaholic mom. So I never knew who I was coming home to. But it's kind of the same thing. And it's now I never know who I'm going to get still, but it's altogether different. Very interesting to stand back from me and watch this dynamic.
Absolutely. Is she still as angry?
That's a silver lining. No, she's not at all. Still snarky sometimes, but that's kind of been taken away.
Interesting. So that edge has been kind of smoothed out a little bit with her dementia.
Yeah, but I would take my old angry mom back with her full capacity. But some days I have to tell you, it's burdensome in a different way. It's navigating it.
How so?
Senior navigation in a different way.
What are you thinking when you say that?
I feel like I still am protecting myself from who she is. So it was like protecting myself from my like angry, unpredictable mom to protecting when I was prior to this, or especially growing up and living with her or being influenced by her, to now protecting myself from the sadness of watching this, not only her, but having dealt with it with my father as well. And the sadness of, wow, this is really hard to watch. I have no brothers and sisters to bounce this off with. My stepdad has been, I mean, he's like the greatest guy in the world, him, Barb. And he is a prince of a guy, but this has brought him and I even closer together. I get to be there for him. He's always there for everyone else, but now I get to kind of emotionally give back to him. And we're kind of a team, you know, Team Marjorie. I speak to him every day.
Wow.
Pretty much just because I, not about anything, just because I like to hear his voice. And it's easier some days to talk with him than my mom. So I'll talk with him and I'll say, tell mom I called. Just so she remembers, she hears my voice, she remembers I called. Sometimes I'm not up to talking with her or seeing where she's at.
That's just too sad.
Yeah. And from a personal note, I am predisposed to getting this because of having two parents with it. So I'm on Amazon a lot buying what I want because you I deserve this. Oh, I might not know how to work Amazon in 10 years from now.
I mean, just as an aside, it sounds like your stepdad kind of filled the soft spot for you in life. I don't know if that's true, but he is a pretty tender guy.
Yes, it's true. He's a love. And he is taking such magnificent care of my mom. He really showed even more of what he's made of by overseeing everything it has. Well, my mom currently, so I'm just going to say my mom has caregiving 5 days a week. She does not need help with any of her activities of daily living, except med management. But she does everything herself, bathing, dressing, grooming. She's ambulating. She uses a cane because, as I said, she's still a little unsteady. I mean, she still hasn't gotten her land legs back. But some days she really feels, I feel much better using this. So thank goodness she's reasonable and is not, I'm not using a cane. That's for old people. She's very pragmatic and really safety aware. But my dad does all of the marketing, all of the management of the house, deals with all the caregivers, any scheduling changes, whatnot. But they're there to kind of drive her to get her hair done, the light housekeeping, meals, just keeping an eye on my mom. My dad still golfs actively. So he does two definite games a week and sometimes picks up a third or out at the driving range, which he needs to do to keep himself sane. But that's what he does. And that's probably why he's still got all of his faculties, because he's staying active. He's staying engaged. He's purposeful. Mm-hmm. And when my mom retired, she kind of didn't do anything. Like, she never, like, really... She actually was on the board of Center for East-West Medicine at UCLA. Mm-hmm. was on the board for a couple of years, but she never like picked up a hobby. She was a golfer too, but then her shoulders, so she stopped golfing, but then she just kind of crapped out. And I think that that's contributed a lot to her brain health.
Yeah.
And through encouragement from a lot of people, like even before, like she had these episodes, like go to the gym, go do, you know, Zumba Silver, go to volunteer, like, to offer. I said, she was so bright and had such good energy. Let's just say she had a lot of energy. It wasn't as good edge, but she had a lot of energy and like put it somewhere and she just did it. So
it makes you wonder if maybe she was having something going on even before what you think was the first stroke. Like you went, right? I mean, it sounds like her personality started to change a while ago and her energy level started to change. And she just, like, here she was, this bright light and then and this energetic self. And then she wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know.
That's another thing I've put in my back pocket to just stay engaged. Keep the different parts of your brain going.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm touring with families or with a senior. I'm an older adult. I'm changing my language. An older adult to look at some, you know, communities. And it's always like, oh my goodness, this is Ruth. And Ruth is an author. And it was like, hi, Ruth, you got to tell them what you're doing. I'm actually writing another book. And she's got an air book. Mm-hmm. And she's on Apple. And she knows her passwords. Or she knows where she put her passwords. And so everybody's made up differently and comes in this world. The brightest people, the most active people, some of them are going to get Alzheimer's or some form of dementia. But I see the people that are staving it off seem to be the ones that are eating right and staying engaged, staying active.
That's definitely what the professionals recommend. Staying engaged and active. Absolutely. Focusing on diet and exercise and socialization. All the things that the assisted living provided for your father. How did your mom, knowing who she is, like, how did she accept the caregiver? Was she receptive to that or was she resistant?
She loves staff. My mom, yeah, she's from the mentality of more staff is better.
Got
so,
because that's what she was used to at work, I guess, right? She was at large and in charge at work.
She's at large and in charge. We always had staff the house, be it housekeepers, nannies. So it wasn't that. And she calls them caregivers too. So she kind of embraced that. As she did her cane, she didn't say, oh, these are my helpers or this is my, some of my seniors I worked at. Their children call them, like, soften the blow, call them assistants, caregivers. This is your assistant, mom. My mom's like, these are my caregivers. This is my, she's fine with that. It was her idea. She knew my dad would be out golfing at least twice a week. She's like, I feel more comfortable when somebody's here with me.
Wow.
I just feel safer. So
she has
thank
good
goodness
judgment.
For her.
Yeah.
Right. As I said, very pragmatic, very non-emotional, very, linear. This makes sense. So.
And she gave up driving too. So
just
same sort of line of thinking, like, I'm not as safe on the road anymore. So what did
especially
how
with her imbalance issues? She's like, what if I'm just not, I can't focus. I'm just not. So but she has her car, but the caregivers drive her around, you know, her hair and her nails and her little car. And so I'm thankful for that. My mom's house was never her office. A lot of my seniors, it's like their role was in their house and that's their kitchen. It's their house. And that was their office was their house. Maybe they didn't have a career. My mom relegated the house to everybody else to cook, to clean, to so that nobody's taking her role over.
That's a good way to look at it.
Seemed to have a lot of resistance with my clients that was like, don't use that pan. That pan is for eggs or whatnot, and get kind of belligerent because somebody's taking their place over. And then when they see if they still have a husband alive, their husband in the kitchen with another woman with their pan that they're using wrong, it kind of is the triggers. But I'm just throwing that out there for people that might not have thought of that little spin, because I try to explain that to some of my clients sometimes that are having issues with caregiving in the home.
Oh, absolutely. And the caregiver now poses a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're younger.
Marriage.
They're taking over to the marriage, to their importance, their control, whatever control they perceive they still might have.
Right.
And it's just verbally expressing. So I'm lucky in the sense that my mom has accepted the care. and that she probably will not go to assisted living, even though my stepdad said, the minute when I walk in the house and she doesn't know who I am, we're throwing in the towel. So that's his line in the sand of if there would ever be placement consideration.
Got it.
But they are set up to have caregiving for as long as necessary.
That's great. At least he knows his limit. Yeah.
Yeah. And I told them to buy a long-term insurance policy years ago.
Good for
you. Did. It was in my own best interest that I did that. All
right. Preserve
your
inheritance.
Not the nest egg.
Oh my gosh, that's funny. Here you've had all this experience with your father. And now
So that was short-lived. That was, and I made some, I didn't make mistakes at all, I don't think. I don't think you can make mistakes here. Everybody's navigating, hopefully the best that they can. And with parents or spouses, it's so emotionally charged. Yeah. You're in the mix. This is happening to everyone. This is a family situation. It's not just mom or dad or honey is having this. We're all having to manage and deal with dementia. And it's complex because the emotional piece of this is so insanely complex. And we're not the same people every day. Even my dog wakes up some days like, oh, you're in such a good mood today. Even dogs have good moods or kind of what's wrong with you today? So especially people do. So you're not bringing your same self every day to the situation. And the person with dementia isn't the same person every day either. Again, the good days, the bad days, the forgetful days, and maybe they're just in a bad mood. It has nothing to do with dementia or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's still a complex, it's still a relationship. Some days I have to put on I am the caregiver hat. Some days I put on, I am the daughter hat. I have needs too in this relationship. So some days I need my mom. And when she's available to be her and to talk to her about something going on in my life, she's not always readily available when I pick up the phone as mom. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I have to wait until she's kind of got her spark back and she's available. And sometimes when she is, I don't need her anymore because it's kind of worked out. But that's kind of sad because sometimes I need her. And some days in my capacity, I have to show up as okay with my dad and go, okay, we need to get this in order. You need to tell Dr. Charette that you want to see what medication we could, I kind of put on my Stacy Elder care placement advisor hat, help direct him what to do in his caregiving needs. Cause he's a banker and a golfer and mm-hmm. he doesn't know what to do. Instinctively, I think he does a really good job, but sometimes he needs a little direction. He's overwhelmed and I see a way to kind of help him and support him. And sometimes when I'm talking with her, I have to just go into the, I can't be daughter now because that'll put me in an emotional place. I'm just going to be like separate and be kind of a more of a caregiver, even though I'm not providing her care, but more, I'm at work more, just trying to manage things, get through it. And then other days I get to put my daughter hat on.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that some days your work hat, some days your daughter hat. Yeah. And I'm sure there are days when you do both. You do it all.
And not having a sibling. I never had a sibling, so I wouldn't know what it was like to have a sibling during this, but I could only imagine because I work with sons and daughters and sons and sons and large families that it would have been easier with my father and now with my mom to kind of bounce things off and share responsibilities, think tank it together.
Have that.
But it is what
support.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is, yeah. That's the title for this, my segment. It is what it is.
It is what it is. Yeah. And you're alone in this making decisions. Not really. You're not really alone in that. I mean, maybe for your father.
I'm emotionally alone in it.
Emotionally alone in it. That's a good point.
And I miss my mom.
I bet.
What we were doing to kind of get out and do things together, like we would go to lunch. We haven't gone to lunch in the last 2 years. So I like bring over lunch and that's fine. Mm. But it just seems like her world has gotten so much smaller. And I can't even if we go to, we live in LA, we live in the west side of LA. So if we go to Beverly Hills for lunch or we go down to Santa Monica or Culver City, that like there's like, you could walk around a little bit and like kind of make it lunch and, even if you're walking to the stores
outing.
And
mm-hmm.
an outing. Thank you. There's not even that. It kind of a bigger, getting out, walking, talking, There's not that anymore because of this freaking mess we're in with COVID. And so it's just sad.
Yeah.
And then some days we're cracking up on the phone and it's not sad. But overall, I'm lucky to have her. She's 82, will be 83 this year. I think I won the lottery by having my parents. My father lived to 91.
Wow.
So that's the silver lining. She's still here. And I get, if not 100% her, then 50% her. Mm-hmm. A phone call or a car ride away. So one day at a time, I get to still have my mom. And I have to just stay in great acceptance that this is where we're at.
Yeah. Well, this is where you're at with the losses and the sadness, all the grief that you still have her. And some days the spark. And other days not, but she's still here.
And some days I'm on the phone with her and I just am rolling my eyes and it's all I can do to get off the phone because I roll my eyes at God. I'm just like, this is just two parents? This person? You took this person's mind? It always seems to me that the smarter the person, the more likely they are to have cognitive impairment. Like they used up their locker worth of brain cells.
Oh my gosh. You've talked about your father. Oh goodness. And now your mother, and you sprinkled in your line of work. So let's just talk a little bit more about that because I'm not sure that everyone is aware that there are people like you.
Oh, there are people like me. So I am elder care placement specialist. I have had my company for 25 years. I just celebrated my 25th anniversary.
Congratulations. Wow. Thank you.
People are like, oh, no way. And I said, yeah, it's a middle school career project, a career day project that just kept rolling out. But it's a big chunk of time. I can't believe it. Working in the senior field is the most gratifying thing. I couldn't imagine doing anything else. I love what I do. I love helping families. I love seniors. As I told you, I was raised by my great-grandmother, my grandparents, and I get to work with people like Barb. So I'm so lucky. So I help families navigate elder care decisions, primarily in the area of placement in assisted living, memory care, boarding care homes, even independent senior boarding care living arrangements. People really don't need a lot of care, but don't want to or can't stay at home for a variety of reasons. So, and I also help triangulate other aspects of a senior's life, not what Barb does, but in terms of, well, maybe they need to go to church, how we can navigate finding a place that has church services or finding a community near this person's church or helping find somebody that will pick them up for church services on Sunday. Or maybe they need an aging care manager like Barb because the family can't, or there is no family to manage the seniors, all the pieces of their life. So I have ancillary services and people that support placement. A no-cost service, I work with communities and they, in essence, a referral fee, a one-time referral fee. So I act as a outstanding outside salesperson for them that they don't have to have on salary. It's kind of, if you will, more like a real estate agent or a travel agent that kind of is the middle, a very short-term middleman to get from point A to point B. I work in the greater Los Angeles area is my area of expertise. And the name of my company is Heart Light, like heart in your chest, light opposed to dark, like the Neil Diamond song. And my mom named my company. That's a whole other story.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's sad. It's very sweet. Oh, well, I always think of Marjorie now when I think of your company. And the feeling is mutual. I love working with you. Oh, I'm so grateful when I'm working with you. Love referring families to you. I know they're in good hands when they're working with you. So you
thank
definitely
you.
Go vice the versa. Extra mile. So
thank you. So if you're listening from any parts afar, just look for a great referral service. Stay away from the online services is my recommendation. Don't go to your lead generation companies. Find people that are boutique, specialized people in your area. If you don't know how to do that, call the best assisted living community in your area and say, hi, I'm looking at your community potentially for my mom. can you refer a referral service that you really like to work with to me? And they will generally say the same thing I did. Stay off the internet. Don't look for any, don't get caught up in the web. They'll never get rid of these people. Find a boutique, specialized local agency that will walk you through this and set up your appointments. Go with you if you would like. Really go like white glove service. And we're worth our weight in,
A concierge, more of a concierge service.
Concierge service, right. Yeah. And again, you don't pay for us. The communities do, and they don't charge more because you're working with a referral service to offset the referral fee they send. That's all built in. And just, it's sometimes the baby steps is all I have to say. And it's one day at a time and sometimes 1 minute at a time. And take care of yourself first. Yes. Kind of like being a parent. Like if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your kids. Really well. Same thing. Don't stretch yourself too thin. There are resources out there. You, if you're especially a spouse, like my grandparents, my grandmother stretched herself so thin that my grandfather died and she was right after him as a direct result, I believe, of the stress factor on her.
You're giving advice as a professional and as the daughter. So you're right. Take
care of yourself. I'm a double winner.
Yes, you are a double winner in this world.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Stacy, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I'm so happy you were willing to have the courage to come forward and talk with me. I so appreciate you being here today. So thank you.
Thanks, Barb. Thanks to everyone out there.
Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Dementia Discussions. If you're a caregiver or know someone who's a caregiver that would like to be a guest on the show, please call me at 310-362-8232 or go to dementiadiscussions.net/contact and let me know. I would love to have you. Remember that you can follow Dementia Discussions on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many more. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, it would mean a lot if you would leave me a review. For any other information about this podcast, please visit me at dementiadiscussions.net. And please share this podcast with someone you know if you think it may help. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you here again next time on Dementia Discussions.